side listening this morning. As you can see, we still got a lot of folks traveling this week. I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. We did at our house. We got some fireworks by watching the fire on the top of the mountain here from the back porch, so that was kind of interesting. You know, it's always interesting
as
when
the
you...
song says, fire on the mountain.
Yeah, fire on the mountain, right? So... As you're sitting there and you watch your nephew go, hey, do you think it's going to burn your house down? So, I hope not. So, but I am thankful for those with the Virginia State Forestry and the Duffield Volunteer Fire Department and the Stickleville Volunteer Fire Department and all those folks with emergency services that came and worked Thursday on Thanksgiving to kind of help put the fire out. And God knew what he was doing. There's supposed to be high winds today, and we had rain this morning. So praise God, there's no more fire, right? So we just thank him for that. With that, before we get started with announcements, I'll let Brother Paul just kind of update us on a couple of activities from this past week.
As y'all can see, we've survived collection week last week. 2022 was a banner year for this area, the four counties. From Thomas Village, we collected, we had 300 shoeboxes at the packing party, and with that we had 54 boxes collected during Mother's Day and Father's Day celebrations. Last year we had a total of 200 boxes, so we were up 154 boxes this year. We had 520 other shoeboxes brought in during collection week. And again, there was a host of wonderful, cheerful volunteers that were here to help all week. And I certainly appreciate everyone that came out, giving your time, your money, your energies. The total shoeboxes that we took to Big Stone on Monday, Brother Gary was here, helped drive the truck, got the shoeboxes up there. There was a total of 874 shoeboxes delivered.
Praise the Lord.
Last year there were 695. So again, another increase. God has been good to us this year. I had a crew here of men that volunteered to load the truck Sunday evening. They put 59 cartons in the truck. There's usually anywhere from 14 to 16 boxes per carton. They wheeled those in. The truck was ready by Monday morning. So I got a text late Monday night from Brother Ross at Big Stone. So for the four counties, Lee, Wise, Scott, and Dixon County, there was a total of 13,938 shoeboxes turned in.
Amen.
That was an increase of 6% this year compared to last year. So, again, another prosperous year for Samaritan's Purse to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to children all around the world. And I know all I've thrown at you is just numbers, but if you will, you take the 13,938 and divide by 4.9, and you come up with 2,844. That's the amount of souls that will be saved and added to the kingdom of God because of this ministry and because of your part in it. So I do thank you. Again, there's been a lot of prayer, a lot of work when involved in it. But if you will, in comparison, if you will, just think how many, take every church in Scott County, how many years combined has it been since there was 2,844 souls saved?
Amen.
In comparison to what's going to happen in a year's time through this ministry. So again, thank you so much for all those that participated and for everything you did. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Paul, and thank you, church, for participating and spending time and money and like I said, effort from everybody. So just thank God for that blessing. Just a couple other announcements before we get into the service, and then Yvonne's going to come up and go over the Lottie Moon Mission Fund before we get started. But just a couple of things. There's a sign-up sheet in the famous on the famous table in the foyer for Christmas caroling that's going to take place on December the 22nd. So we'll meet here at the church, but you just need to sign up so they can make sure they got everybody covered as far as transportation to go over and sing Christmas carols in the village on December the 22nd. Also, too, December 1st on Thursday prayer that they do similar to Tuesday morning, correct? We'll begin at 6:30 for midweek, just prayer, time to come in and pray for those upon our prayer list and those that don't know the Lord and just other burdens that the Lord has upon your heart. And then also, too, just to add to your prayer list this morning, many of you are aware that our brother Wayne is in Charlottesville, Virginia, at University of Virginia Medical Center. Things are going well. He left here, I don't think he would mind me telling you, he left here with about 16 pounds of fluid on him and around his heart. They have managed to pull off a little over 8 to 9 pounds of that, so praise the Lord for that. That's going to give him a tremendous amount of relief and pressure in his situation, and I think he's doing a heart catheterization tomorrow. They're going to test as well. Many of y'all probably know this because you're on Facebook. I choose not to be on Facebook, so I have to get all this second and third hand knowledge. But let's just continue to remember that family, that Virginia and Tammy are up there as well. And then also, too, again, I just want to thank the Lord for our Thanksgiving holiday. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We have much to be thankful for, just like the things that Brother Paul just mentioned. We're so thankful for those in attendance this morning and, again, those watching on Facebook. We got a lot of folks traveling, and just for clarity's sake, I am not Otis Bowen. Many of you know that, but I am not Otis Bowen. I'm Frank Pennington. And I want to thank you again for coming this morning. And before Yvonne comes up, I'm just going to let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then you can come up and go over the Lottie Moon Mission Fund. So if you would, let's bow our heads, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we are thankful to be here this morning. And we're thankful to be your children, Lord, and just hear your word preached this morning. And whether it's here in this sanctuary or those listening out in the parking lot or those listening live on Facebook, Lord, we just ask that you just quieten our hearts, Lord, and just direct our hearts to the word this morning that Brian brings as he preaches, Lord. We just ask you that you would, you know this week that's coming, Lord, before we do. And we just ask that you feed us through your word and give us strength to accomplish all things in this week to come, Lord. We are thankful that we still celebrate Thanksgiving in this country, Lord, that we can all stop and take time to be thankful for what you've given us this past year, Lord, and the strength you've given us, the protection you've given us, Lord. And most of all, we're just thankful that we can still continue to come to your house and worship, Lord. And we just ask that that take place this morning. And God, we just ask that you be with our nation and our country, that you would just help us, that you would burden our hearts, Lord, to be very much involved in prayer to you, Lord, as your people, that you would just give us strength and guidance to go through all that you put before us, Lord. And again, most of all, we're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life upon Calvary, Lord, that eternal salvation can be offered to those that believe upon him. And in Jesus' name and for his sake, we do pray. Amen. And if you notice this also here on stage, I was told this was a chain built by the Awana kids to write down all they were thankful for before Thanksgiving. So a lot of blessings.
Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So another opportunity to share the love of Jesus, as Mr. Paul just spoke up. It's good to see you. Another opportunity that you have. In your bulletin, you should have received a prayer guide and an envelope. So this is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And 100% of this offering goes to the missionaries all around the world. This keeps them in their place where they're at and serving so that they do not have to leave from there, become disconnected with those contacts that they've made to come back here and raise funds and then have to go back again. So this keeps them there on a continual basis so that they can to build those relationships. The offering last year, the goal was it helped to support 3,650 missionaries, and the work is seeing 22,744 new churches planted around the world. And this is a great way for you to help support those. And another way also, in addition to this, as we've done in the past, we've had our in-house Christmas card delivery, which our youth and teens will help to deliver. So for those of you not aware of that, if you want to deliver a card to someone within the sanctuary here, you address that card to them. Out on the table, there'll be a place to put it. And what the postage would be typically to mail that, you donate that, and all those funds also will go to this Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So then the youth will come and deliver those cards for you. But just be sure to check if you use the our program that we have all the people in it. Just check it, because some people might not still be here and gone. So, you know, if they've not been here in a while, just go ahead and mail that to them so that they can at least receive that. But as we are told in Revelation, the seventh chapter, ninth verse, it says, a multitude of every nation, tribe, people, and language worshiping before the throne. And that means those who will come to know Jesus also. So you can be a part of that to help someone know about Jesus, accept Jesus, and then be eternally with him forever. And also, just a reminder, we are still doing the collection for the Dean, Kentucky. So if you have some household items that you want to bring, some blankets, some sheets, we're also delivering toys for the children so that they can have some toys for them. So there's a place to deliver those. We're still collecting those through the end of this month, and we'll be going this Saturday, I believe it is, to deliver those. And if you still would like to be a part of that, just let us know. But many, many ways to help share God's love with people around the world and locally. Thank you.
And with her speaking, thank you, Sister Yvonne, with Sister Yvonne telling us and reminding us of the drive that we're having for the Kentucky flood victims, I just want to say thank you to the body. As you remember, last week we did a love offering that's going to go to help them get their homes back in store. And Thomas Village, you took up over $1,050 to go to that. And so we give God the praise for that. Also, this morning we'll be in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. And Sister Tammy specifically reminded me about this, the Thanksgiving chain. And what it is from our Awana students that they were challenged to go deeper in their time of Thanksgiving. And not just, and they did. And so I, along with her and the other teachers, challenge you to come and see what our children are thankful for. And so before we get ready to go into a word of prayer, we were asked not only to pray for the students that have made these chain of Thanksgiving, but also we want to pray for their families that they be blessed. All right, so let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you for this day. And God, I thank you for who you are. And I'm thankful that you are a God who is a good God. And all good and perfect gifts come from above. And Lord, we don't know what each one of these homes are going through, but you do. And Lord, in the midst of their situations, these young men and young women were able to find reasons for thanksgiving and praise. And so, God, we just pray blessings over their homes. God, we do lift up Brother Wayne and Sister Tammy now. And God, let our hearts be focused on you as this is the day that you have made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 1.
Morning, church. As we go through this season of Thanksgiving, it's we as Christians ought to be thankful every day. Mm-hmm. And it's all due to Jesus Christ. So let's all stand and sing number 300, Without Him.
Like a ship.
Let's turn to number 644. Since we're talking about blessings, let's sing about blessings. 644, count your blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempted, tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it may surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them. Blessings they what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, they blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ hath promised you his wealth untold. Blessings money cannot buy, nor reward in heaven, nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attest, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Amen. Don't go nowhere, Miss Ernestine.
I'm going to need you this morning. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. I'm thankful that you've made the effort to come out, and I pray that you've already been blessed. And this morning, do we have any words? Well, if you're watching by Facebook or you're listening over the radio, just tell you it's good to have you with us. Believe that God has appointed you to this place and this time. And if you don't remember anything else, as you turn to Colossians chapter 1, remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things, okay? Do we have any words of praise or testimony? 132, sister, 132. I know I've heard you play this one before. Her book's different.
Power in the Blood. Power in the Blood. Do we have any word? That's the title for this morning's message. Power in the Blood. Do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning? Amen. Amen. It's good to see Sister Nancy also. As I stuck my head around the corner, that made my heart smile and my face smile. Anybody else with a word of praise or testimony today? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. It is, and it's amazing how God puts His people. Amen. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Anyone else this morning? All right, I'm going to ask you if you would to stand with me and take your song books and turn to page 132. Page 132, this is the title of this morning's message. You're going to know this song. And we'll sing the first, second, and last verse, okay? The first, second, and last verse. There is power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sent to a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Number four. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Find somebody and tell them it's good to see them today. Thank you, Sister Ernestine. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Good deal. Good to see you. You've got the old Baptist hymnal, don't you? That's with the shape notes? Okie dokie. I remember them. I remember them. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll be looking at two verses kindly as our diving board, I reckon. But how many of you in the song we just sang, Power in the Blood, how many of you have just one syllable, power, or how many of you do power? Where I was raised at, it was one syllable. It was just power in the blood. Amen? All right. This morning, if I did have a title for the message, it would be, There is Power in the Blood. And
I know that even though my wife took down all the decorations yesterday and put up all the Christmas decorations, we're still in a time of Thanksgiving. And the thing about, and Brother Kay, I enjoyed our Sunday school. If you don't come to Sunday school, I challenge you to come. We have a class for everyone, and I believe that you would be greatly blessed by being in it. But Brother Kay made a statement that to be able to give thanks, you have to slow down and look back. If we spend so much time looking ahead, looking ahead, looking ahead, then it's difficult to give thanks because you're, instead of looking back and giving regard to what's been given, you're just living with expectations. And so today I want us to consider the topic of the power in the blood and just how thankful are we for the blood. For the blood of Jesus Christ. Stand with me in honor of God's word as we consider the power in the blood. Colossians chapter 1, picking up in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name I come to You and I thank You for this day. And first, I just ask You to forgive me of my sins and my failures. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I know, Lord, that I'm unworthy of Your salvation. I'm unworthy of Your Son. I'm unworthy of the blood that He shed on my behalf. But God, I thank You, Lord, that You love me in spite of myself, and that You did send Your Son to die on the cross, and that You've given me the indwelling and the person of the Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, You're invited into our midst today. I pray that You take Your Word and encourage us, enlighten us, and enable us to be all that You died for us to be. Heavenly Father, Lord, You know our needs. You know all that's going on in our life. And Heavenly Father, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, focus us so that we may be able to receive Your Word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. For it pleased the Father that in Christ Jesus all fullness should dwell, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Again, may God add the blessings to the reading of His Word. But we are still, it's still November, it's not December yet. And so I really haven't focused on the idea of Thanksgiving until up to last Sunday night. But as the week has been by, I've been able to take some time and look back in the things that I'm thankful for. And I pray that you've also took some time to look back and just acknowledge what God has given you. You know that we are a nation that's kindly unique with the idea of Thanksgiving, and that it is a specific time where we slow down, look back, and render thanksgiving and our value for all that He has blessed us with. There's many things that we can be thankful for today. Our family, our friends, our finances, though they may be little to none, but praise God. Our shelter, our freedom, the food, like Brother Johnny talked about, the clothing that we have on our back. You think about all those things that I just mentioned. Most of those things we don't give a second thought to on a daily basis. But yet, they are some of the most valued things in our life, and if they were took away, how much of an inconvenience would our lives be? Then there's our country. Praise God, I believe it's the greatest country in the world, and I don't want to go to any other country. Our church. Thank God that we're able to meet in a house of worship, and we don't have to worry about people coming in here and telling us that we can't meet or being thrown into a prison. Then there's the health that we have. And I know that not everybody has great health, but at this moment, you're in a place where many other people would say, I would trade with you at the drop of a hat. No questions asked, no qualms, but they would trade. The fact that blood is flowing through our veins right now is an awesome testimony to the goodness of God and what He's given us. And just acknowledging, you know, there's people that we live in a world today that don't even recognize where our vegetables come from. All they know is you go to the grocery store and you get it. We need to be thankful for the farmer. We need to be thankful for the dairy guy. We need to be thankful for the butcher and all those. I mean, there are so many things that if we stop, we could be here all day. But at this weekend, as we were gathering, we had some friends over and we were watching a movie and some other movies came up. The Passion of the Christ came up. And somebody stated that that affected me. Basically to the point it affected me in a way that I'll never be the same again. And as I thought about that, what is it about the Passion of the Christ? Has everybody seen the Passion of the Christ? I'd say you've seen bits and pieces of it. What is it about the Passion of the Christ that stands out so much? It's the brutality and the blood that's in that film. And here's the thing. While I think they did a wonderful job at portraying what Christ went through, I don't believe that they got it halfway as brutal as it would be. But here's something that we're losing today when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And instead of being ashamed of it, we need to be proud of it and thankful that the gospel is a bloody gospel. And here's the facts. If you take the blood away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, then there is no longer the gospel of Jesus Christ, because our salvation is built on the shedding blood of our Lord and Savior. We live in a time today where we're so desensitized by blood. If you watch TV during the day, you're going to see 4 to 6 people dead. If you're like me and watch the ID network, you'll see 20 dead within the day. We play video games, and there's many that are killed on the videos. I mean, that's the bloodier the better. But for some reason, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to our religion, many people push the blood aside. But praise God, it is the blood that has power to change not only our lives here on earth, but to change our eternal destiny. It's amazing to me as we look back in history, the way that blood has played into the different tribes and different nationalities and things. Listen to this. The Hindus, they have a human sacrifice which they would take part in to the goddess Kali, and there would be over 2 million deaths. Can you imagine the blood that was shed there? The Chinese, specifically the Shanghai Dynasty, had it as religious rites and political tools where they would shed the blood of many. The Carthaginians, to gain favor and to appease the quote-unquote gods, reportedly killed 20,000 from 800 B.C. to 146 B.C. The Aztecs, they would take and kill the certain ones in their tribes, literally pulling out the heart and allowing the blood to shed, quote-unquote, to gain favor with their god. Then there's the Celts of Europe, the Tahitians, the Hawaiians. Even Israel got caught up in sacrificing their children to Molech over in 1 Kings chapter 11. And it almost seems like, and you know that there's more. I mean, we could go on. But it almost seems like there's something been instilled in man that there has to be a shedding of blood for the appeasing of the Creator. In the old, so the sinful and false religions, they still had the concept of blood sacrifice. Blood is used a lot in the entirety of the Bible and is of an extreme importance. In the Old Testament, 346 times in 282 verses, the blood is mentioned. And then there's the Passover. You remember the Passover where the lamb, where they were in Israel still, and the lamb would have to be slain, and they would apply the blood to the doorpost. And as long as the blood was applied, then the death angel would pass over. And then there was the Day of Atonement, where it was all about the shedding of blood, where the nation's sin for the year would be covered by the blood of rams, oxen, sheep, and doves. It was a bloody, bloody day. In the New Testament, the word blood or the term blood is used 101 times in 93 verses. You cannot have the gospel You cannot have the Bible without it being bloody. Listen to how our Creator values blood. Genesis chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. However, you must not eat meat with its life blood in it. I will require the life of every animal and of every man for your life and your blood. I will require the life of each man's brother for a man's life. Leviticus chapter 17, verses 11 and 14. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have appointed to you to make atonement on the altar for your life, since it is the life blood that makes atonement. Since the life of every creature is in the blood, I have told the Israelites, you must not eat the blood of any creature, because the life of every creature is in the blood. Whoever eats it must be cut off. I myself believe that the soul resides in the blood. I believe that, and you don't have to agree with that, but I believe life is in the blood, and we are a living being. And our soul is what continues on after this life. Listen, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 23 through 24. Do not eat the blood, since the blood is the life, and you must not eat the life with the meat. You do not eat blood, pour it on the ground like water. Instead of consuming blood, God tells us to let it nurture the earth. So in these verses, we see the worth and the value that our Creator places on blood. So much so that He prohibits the shedding of man's blood outside of a capital punishment type situation. And even so much that He does not want us to consume the blood of the animals that surround us. But yet, with that value being placed on the blood, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, we're told, He, Jesus, entered into the most holy place once for all, not by the blood of goats or by calves, but by His very own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled those who are defiled, sanctifying them to the purification of the flesh, how much more then the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleansing our consciousness from dead works to serve the living Savior. Thank God for a bloody gospel. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And there are so many things today that we have. If you proclaim to be a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there are so many things that have become a reality in your life because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want us to look at those things. The first thing this morning, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is remission of sins. I heard a man say the other day that we're not supposed to use big religious words anymore, but he says if you can remember a caramel macchiato, then you can remember the names and the words that are used in the Bible. Because of the blood, there is remission of sin. Jesus said in the upper room as He introduced the new covenant in Matthew chapter 6, verse 28, He said, "For this is My blood that establishes the new covenant. It is shed for the remission of sins." Because of the blood of Jesus, there's a remission of sins. What does the remission mean? It means dismissal, a release, or a sending away of our sins. Listen how far it says, the remission or the sending away of our sins. Listen to what Micah says about our sins being sent away. Micah chapter 7, beginning in verse 18. "Who is a God like you, removing the iniquity and the passing over rebellion for the remnant of His inheritance? He does not hold on to His anger forever, because He delights in faithful love." Now listen, Micah 7, 19. "He will again have compassion on us. He will vanquish our iniquities. He will cast all our sins to where? Into the depths of the sea." And so as I was studying that this week, I was reading about the sea and that there are so many, it is so deep that it is the most undiscovered territory on all of planet Earth. Matter of fact, one article I read said that it's basically or practically an alien planet. There are so deep places. The deepest place in the ocean is called the Mariana Trench in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of the Mariana Islands. It is 36,000 161 feet deep, or almost 7 miles deep. If you took the highest mountain on the planet Earth, Mount Everest, which is 29,000 32 feet, if you put it at the lowest point of the Mariana Trench, there would still be a little over a mile left before it could reach the top. That's how deep the ocean is. And that is so deep that we can't even go down so far because of the pressure that would build up on the individual that it would about kill them. But Jesus says, the Bible says, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that He has cast my sins, or He has given remission to my sins, that they are away from me and they're in the deepest parts of the ocean, in a place where they cannot and will not ever be found. And all of that is due to the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood, because the blood has brought remission, or the casting away of my sins. Number two, because of the blood, there is redemption from sin. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is redemption from sin. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. We have redemption in Him through His blood for the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. What is redemption? How many of you remember the old things? If you save up so many cereal boxes, you can redeem them for such and such. See, the idea of redeem or redemption is to pay a price. It is to be released on the payment of ransom. To be released on the payment of ransom. It is affected by someone paying a price, and when they pay that price, then the object is released. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as an obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. I am using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you offered your parts of yourselves as slaves to immoral impurity and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which result in sanctification. The Bible makes it clear, and it's amazing, that God doesn't place to us multiple choice answers. What we see is that God is a binary God. Heaven, hell. Broad way, narrow way. Broad gate, narrow gate. Jesus, life, or Satan and hell. And here's the thing. If we don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're of our father, the devil, is what Jesus says. Over in John chapter 8, verses 3 through 6, Jesus responded, I assure you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the house forever, but a son does. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you are really free. Or the King James says, you are free indeed. See, what's the old saying? We owed a debt that we could not pay. He paid a debt that He did not owe. See, we were sinners trapped by sin. Here's the thing. We were born as sinners and we like sinning. The whole theme of sin is putting self first. All about me. Why do we lie? Because we want to get our way, or we don't want to get in trouble. Why do we work so hard and we do things? Because we want to put ourselves first. That's what Satan did. Remember? He wanted to lift himself up above God. He thought, it's all about me. And then not only are we slaves to sin, but then we also become guilty of sin, or we accrue a debt of sin. Why? Because we break the commands and the rules of God. And when we break the commands of God, then we disrespect and disregard, and basically we reject our Creator and His ways. We fight against Him. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says that when the blood was shed on Calvary, that it was the payment, not for just one or two sins, but it's the payment for our life of sins. From the first sin that I ever committed till the last sin I'll ever commit when He takes me out, every bit of that is covered and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Because not only does it give me the remission or the taking away of my sins, but it also gives me the redemption or pays the price for my sins. The next thing, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's power in the blood, isn't there? The next thing is that the blood, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is reconciliation with my Creator. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, glory, hallelujah, there is reconciliation with my Creator. Here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19, as we read, "For God was pleased to have all the fullness of Him dwell in Him, and through Him reconcile everything to Himself by making peace through the blood of His cross, whether the things on the earth or things in heaven." Once, listen, once you were alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil works. Remember our life of sin. But now He has reconciled. Notice in that passage He uses the word reconcile or reconciliation at least twice. But now He has reconciled you by His physical body through His death to present you holy, flawless, and blameless before Him. The idea of reconcile. What it means is to reunite, to restore harmony, to settle a difference, to bring back together. Praise God, when He created us in His image to be His representation upon His creation. You remember with Adam and Eve, it said that in the cool of the day, what would they do? They would go and they would walk with Him. They would have fellowship and a time with Him. Folks, that's why we were created. We were created specifically to have a relationship with our Creator. But notice, it also says that we were alienated. Alienated from our Creator. Meaning that we're foreigners. We're estranged. It goes on to say that we were hostile of mind. Meaning that the Bible teaches us that we were enmity with Him, or that we were basically enemies. That we didn't want God in our life. We didn't want His ways in our life. Look at America right now. There is no desire for a holy God. There is no desire for His ways. And guess what? Before we knew Jesus Christ, we were just as guilty and just as sinful as they are. And it's only by the blood that we've been saved. Listen, John chapter 9, verse 31, it says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners." Why doesn't God listen to sinners? Because we're an enemy. It's only after we come to salvation. Romans 8, verses 7 and following, "For the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so." Why? Because it's a slave to sin. "Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." But notice, it says that He has reconciled us, doing it through the blood of His cross. You see what the blood does. Remember back when we talked about the sin being cast into the sea? That's, you know what did that? The blood. The blood made it to where sin can be removed. Whatever it is that's standing in between humanity and our Creator, the blood comes in there and it washes away like a tidal wave and moves everything out of the way so that we now have been reconciled with our Creator. Oh, there's power in the blood. Because of the blood, there is reconciliation for our sins. And then, because of the blood, the filth of sin has been rinsed and washed away. The filth of sin has been rinsed and washed away. Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. I think you referenced Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, didn't you, Sister Yvonne? That's just one of them things the Lord confirms stuff for me. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 and following. "Then one of the elders asked me, 'Who are these people robed in white, and where did they come from?' John responds, I said to him, Sir, you know, then he told me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a beautiful picture is that. How can you take red blood? Old timers used to say, how you take red blood, put it on black sin, and come out white as snow? I don't know, but I ain't got to understand it to enjoy it. Notice, the idea of washed is to clean, or to clean, by the action of a liquid and rubbing it to get out the filth, the dirt. Now, how many of you have ever followed behind an old filthy vehicle? You know, it may be the old, the pasty film from salt and ice and snow, or perhaps it's from riding on dirt roads down in Georgia, or maybe it's the time of spring when all the pollen is falling and it's yellow on the car. But as you're falling behind it, what do you see? Wash me. I mean, that vehicle is crying out to be rinsed and to be washed. Usually it may be me that you're following behind. But I want you to think about that. Now think about that dirty vehicle, all right? We are even dirtier than that in the eyes of God. Listen, Isaiah 64:6. All of us have become like an unclean thing. Our righteousness are as polluted garments. All of us, like a leaf, wither. And our iniquities carry us away like the wind. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filth. To God spiritually, that car has nothing on the filth of sin on those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13 says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. And you cannot tolerate wrongdoing. How many of you remember when Jesus was on the cross? And over there in Matthew chapter 27, verses 46, and Mark chapter 15, verses 34, on the cross, as He bore our filth. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we might become the... What did He say? My God, why have You forsaken Me? I believe in that moment a holy God could not look on sin. And He bore our sins. And you know what today? If we're sinful, and we bear that sin in our life, if we've never known what it is to be cleansed, to have the filth washed away, then we're still just that dirty. But praise God, on the day that Jesus Christ came into my life, your life, and whosoever's life, the blood of heaven poured down upon us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, and more importantly, on the inner man, and it washed away all the sin and the shame, the filth. No longer spiritually is there a sign upon me that says, wash me, because I've been washed. The filth has been rinsed and washed away by the blood. Because of the blood of Jesus, the filth of sin has been rinsed and washed away. Now the next thing, because of the blood of Jesus, the stain of sin has been removed from my life. How many of you's got one of those pair of jeans, your breeches or a shirt, and you can wash them and they're clean? I mean, you put the gang to it, and you put the fabric softeners and all that, and you wash it out, and you know they clean britches, but they got that big old oil spot on them. You know what I mean? Embarrasses my wife to death when I wear them britches out. Well, what about the ink? You know, when I don't know, but I leave pens in my pocket quite regular, and we have plenty of pair of britches where the stain is still there. Listen, for if the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews 9, verse 13 and following. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a young cow sprinkle those who are defiled and sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more would the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God. Now listen, to cleanse our consciousness from dead works to serve a living God. Now remember, we've been washed, right? We're no longer filthy. The blood has been washed. But how many of us have those past sins that the devil comes and he holds them up in your face, or that the flesh, you know, our flesh is an enemy too. And it brings those things up in our mind and says, how dare you? Who do you think you are? Why do you think you should be able to serve God? And you know what? Those old stains hinder a lot of people from living victorious. But listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who exist in Christ Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. Even if our consciousness, or even if our hearts condemn us, that God is greater than our consciousness, and He knows all things. That means, you know, the Bible teaches us that there's the accuser of the brethren over in Revelation chapter 12. Meaning that He goes up before us, and we can say, God says, I don't see the stain. I don't see the sin anymore. And you know what? It doesn't matter what our heart says. It doesn't matter what our emotion says. The blood and the Bible say that that stain is gone. There is no remnants of that stain anymore in my life. Like it or not, that's what the book says. And I don't go by a feeling, amen? We go by the book and the blood. Praise God, because of the blood, the stain of sin has been removed. The next thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. This is going to be used on the next 2 points. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because of the blood, there is the reward of sanctification. Because of the blood, I have been rewarded sanctification. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. And some of you used to be like this. He gives a long list of different types of sins. Some of you used to be like this, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The word sanctified means to be dedicated, to be set apart for service and loyalty to God. Now see, sometimes it's hard for us to understand the idea of sanctification. So I want us to go back to the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 48. Listen what it says. And the Lord told Moses, now listen, He's talking about the Levites and the temple. Now the Lord told Moses, do not register or take a census of the tribe of Levi or with the other Israelites. This is what, this, now listen, He separates the Levites. Appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of My testimony, all of its furnishings and everything in it, all the utensils. They are to transport the tabernacle and all its articles, to take care of it, to camp around it. Whenever the tabernacle is to move, the Levites are to take it down. Whenever it is to stop at a campsite, the Levites are to set it up. And any unauthorized person who comes near it must be put to death. Now, see, here's the picture of sanctification. With the Levites, God said, they're not like the other 11 tribes. I am setting them apart for a special purpose and a special plan. They're to take care of My tabernacle. They're to take it down. They're to set it up. All the utensils that's used in there of gold and silver and all those things, they're the only ones that's to be touching them. Whenever there's something to be done between God and man, they are the ones that's going to do it. I have sanctified them, or I have set them apart for loyal use to God. And folks, because of the blood, we have been separated from those that are dying and going to hell, and we've been set apart as His elect, those that He has chosen, those that He has called, those that He has sealed with the person of the Holy Ghost until the day of His redemption, when He redeems us as His own. And all of that has happened to me and to whosoever. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood, because through it I have been sanctified. But not only that, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I have been justified. Justified. I'm not going to read it again, but you see there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, it says that we have been justified and also, or sanctified and also justified. The word justified means to be made right with, vindicated, but also to have guilt removed, to to be set free. You see the idea? Remember, we talked about the old accuser of the brethren. Remember? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. The Bible says, and we see it in Job, that he goes up and he says, well, look at Brian. Look at him. He's a sinner. He did this, he did that, and he did the other. In reality, I did. But because of the blood, not only has the penalty been paid, not only has the price been already put on my account, but God Almighty, the righteous judge, says there's not any accusations against him that's coming before me. You see, it's not just being pardoned, but it's like my whole record has been expunged. It's like it was never there. The stain, the dirt, the filth, the accusations, all of that has been taken away. Why? Because I'm justified. And the only way that I've been made justified is by what the blood has done in my life. Thank God for a bloody gospel. And then in closing, as our song director and our piano player come, the last thing we've seen, because of the blood, there is remission of sins. Because of the blood, there is redemption from sin. Because of the blood, there is reconciliation with our Creator. Because of the blood, the stain of sin has been removed. The filth of sin has been washed away. Because of the blood, I have been sanctified or set apart as He is. Because of the blood, I have been justified or I've been made right in the eyes of the only one who counts. And the last thing is, because of the blood, there is an eternal reunion ahead. Because of the blood, there's an eternal reunion ahead. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13 and following. Therefore Jesus also suffered outside the gate, so that He might sanctify His people by His own blood. Let us then go to Him outside the camp, bearing His disgrace, for we do not have an enduring city here. Instead, we seek one that is to come. Hebrews chapter, just like Abraham over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, it says, by faith, Abraham stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Praise God. You know what? I am not a member. I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of an eternal kingdom. And you know what? In this world, they take censuses. You know, they want to see. They want to know. Praise God. My name's already been written on another census. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all of that is because of the blood. Because of the blood. And today, as we consider all those, it's Thanksgiving. And look, just in the blood, we spent, what, eight? There's so much more. There was eight things that we can be thankful for because of the blood. But there's so much more. So this is the only hell I'll ever have to face. Why? Because of the blood. I look forward to seeing my friends and my loved ones and living in an eternity with them. How? Because of the blood. I know this for a reality, that everything, the family, the friends, the finances, the clothing, all those things, there's coming a day when I breathe my last breath that all of that's going to be gone. All of it. Somebody else will enjoy it. But when I take that last breath, everything that I've been given because of the blood will still be there, and they'll be more real than anything I've ever known in my life. So here's the invitation, I guess you'd say today. Have you thanked God for the blood this week? Have you thanked God for the spotless Lamb who takes away the sins of whosoever? Do you have the blood applied to your life? You see, it's just like in the Old Testament at the Passover. There's coming a day when the death angel is going to come for all of us. And if the blood is there, then Jesus would say, come on in. This one's mine. But if the blood's not there, He'll say, depart from me. you workers of iniquity, for I have never knew you. See, that's the thing about the blood. You got to make a choice about it. Either it's beautiful, and it's the best thing that's ever happened to humanity, or like a lot of people, they say, well, I just don't want to have nothing to do with the blood. Well, you're rejecting the blood. You don't want the blood. Listen what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. How much sore a punishment do you think those will deserve who have trampled on the Son of God, who regarded the blood of His covenant, by which we are sanctified, as profane, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Do you know that you know that you know that the blood has been applied? And see, you may never get another opportunity. Those of you listening by radio or watching by Facebook as well, you may never get another opportunity to make a decision about the blood. And so today, two parts. Number one, is the blood there? If you died right now, I'm not talking about what you've done in the past. I'm not talking about what the future may hold. I'm talking about at this moment. There's not a doubt in your mind that the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, covers your life. If it doesn't, if you're not assured of that, well, I would love to show you what the Bible says about it. Maybe today you've recognized that you've took the blood for granted, like many of us do often and in our life. And we need to come back and just say, God, I know I don't need to be re-saved, but I sure would like to be reunited in the freshness of Your blood and Your grace of Your Son. And then today there's this. Maybe it's just been a while since you've said, thank God for the blood. But whatever your need is, the blood of Jesus Christ is there for you. And it's there for whosoever. Stand with me as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for the blood. I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. And I ask You right now, Lord, just to do as You see fit in this time of decision, time of celebration. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but a blood of gospel. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right, I pray that you've been blessed this morning, and I pray you'll take some time not only just to be thankful for the blood, but to tell somebody just how thankful you are for the blood of Jesus Christ, because there is power in the blood. God bless you. Any words of testimony before we close out? Noah wanted tonight. We will have service at 6. We'll be talking about hindrances to our prayers. Hindrance to prayers, but then also helpful tips to being committed to our prayers. All right. Anything else before we close out? Brother John Franklin, would you close us out in prayer, please? Come on, bro. Good to see you. So you just tagged out early, didn't you?